Our next guest on Downtown played the iconic role of Shirley Feeney for several seasons on Laverne and Shirley. She also appeared in films like American Graffiti and The Conversation. She's the author of a terrific memoir, Shirley, I Jest. And she's got a brand new one-woman show that hits the road in January called Me, Myself, and Shirley. We're very happy to welcome the talented Cindy Williams back to Downtown. It's been almost exactly 2 years since you've been on with us, and I don't want to say I've spent every day since then pining for you and thinking we needed to get you back, but it's been close to that.
Well, Rich, thank you. What a great compliment.
Well, we're
thank
so
you
excited.
For that blushing.
Oh, well, so happy. And we've been talking about you with other people. I hope your ears haven't been burning, but your friend Ed Begley was on with us a couple of months ago, and you may have come up a couple of times.
Oh, I'm sure. And I can bring Ed up if you'd like me to. He's one of my dear, dear friends.
Well, he did confirm some stories that you told us about picking you up for a date in his electric golf cart and then killing all the power at your house when he plugged his vehicle in.
Yes, that's true. So Ed confirmed it.
He did, right? Yeah. And he said it was even worse than you led us to believe. That. Yeah.
Yeah, I had like, I don't know, 100 people at my house for a dinner party and everything blew. He said, Cindy, can I plug the car in because I need more juice? I said, sure. And he plugged it into the garage and everything blew. But it was exciting, you know.
Well, what's really exciting is this one-woman show that you've been working on. And I'm looking at your schedule here starting in January. You're going to be a busy woman this late winter and spring, taking Me, Myself, and Shirley everywhere. Tell us a little bit about the show.
Yeah, the three of us are headed out on the road. It's just 90 minutes of fun. And it's about, you know, a little bit about my life, a little bit, because I, you know, that's boring stuff. You want to get to the fun stuff. But, and it's, you know, a lot of my show business career, my career in show business, and how I got from here to there, basically. And then the fun stuff of Laverne and Shirley, of course. And it's very visual and just a lot of fun and hopefully, you know, laugh out loud. I did it for a month in Boca Raton, for 3 weeks in Boca Raton, in another version of it along when I was first trying it out. And there were a lot of laugh out loud moments. So I'm very pleased with it and really excited about coming to a theater near you, except I don't think we're up there in Maine until maybe next year.
All right, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Now, I want to know,
and you'll have to come and see it.
Oh, you know it. How did you cut your life story down to 90 minutes? Because I went back to reread your book, Shirley, I Jest, A Storied Life, which is a wonderful read the second time, even better. But there's so many wonderful stories. How did you pick to get it down to 90 minutes?
It wasn't easy. I had to just take, I thought, well, I'll change the stories around on the road. You know, I'll put the Cher story here and then the Andy Kaufman story back in. And I'll then I'll take those out and put the Gene Kelly story in. Anyway, I'm so blessed, Rich, to have had so many fabulous, wonderful, you know, heady experiences and adventures in my life. In my life and in show business, in my career, that I had just had a plethora, I think that's a word, a plethora of choices. And so I just put the ones that I thought were really, really shiny and shined them up more and put them in the show. The ones I thought were really funny. But I did have to bail, you know, I did have to keep a few in the wings that I would have loved to have put in the show, but they're just too long to tell. Like a story about Cher and Penny and me. And it would have taken 10 minutes to tell that, give that story, you know, the fun that it needed to tell it, the time that it needed, really painted it as much with as much fun as it was.
We have 10 minutes if you want to share that story with us.
Okay. Well, it starts out where Penny and I are invited to the premiere of Grease. And we have to, at Grauman's Chinese in Hollywood. And so we, in order to get there, we have to leave from Paramount, from rehearsals, get dressed on the lot. And then the car was going to pick us up, but the guy, the driver, told us to be way on the other side of the lot. So we're running for the car so we can make it to the premiere of Grease. And so as we're running, I say to Penny, did you bring a lipstick or a lip gloss? She goes, no. And I said, well, I didn't either. And this is going to wear off and my lips are all cracked and dry and, you know, and I was miserable and we're running. And as we're talking, having this conversation, well, we're walking really fast about the lip gloss. They're sitting in front of one of the soundstage doors, a Cher with a friend. I mean, she's sitting on the ground and she goes, we look over and we see her. And this is before Cher was Cher, this Cher. You know, it was between Sonny and Cher and Cher.
Right.
And so she says, here, you can borrow my lip gloss. And she hands us a lip gloss. And we stop and we say, thank you, Cher. And we put, you know, we use the lip gloss and we hand it back to her. And she goes, you going to the Grease premiere? And we said, yeah. And she goes, I would have loved to. She said something like she wasn't going, you know. And we could tell she wasn't going. And so we thanked her profusely and we ran for the car. And all our discussion was in the car on the way to the premiere was, why isn't Cher in this car with us going to the Grease premiere? Why isn't Cher going to the Grease premiere? Why wasn't she invited? And so then skip to years later. There's something funny that happened there with John Travolta. But anyway, skip to years later. We're in Fiorucci's, which is this high-end, you know, Italian hip disco store in Beverly Hills. And I don't know how we got there on this Saturday afternoon. And we were in this high-end disco store, Fiorucci's, on the Saturday afternoon. I have no idea how we got there. I think Penny's daughter, Tracy, wanted to go in there, and we were shopping. So there was nothing in this store really for Penny or me, except they had these brand new black vinyl disco pants.
Ooh.
And they had just come in, and these things were nothing Penny and I would ever wear, but we were very curious about how they would look on us. And we were each very thin at the time. So we go into the each in a dressing room side by side, and we struggle for about 5 minutes. I can hear her. She's saying, get on the floor and wiggle your way into them. And, you know, and I said, what do I do with this, you know, fat that's, you know, sticking out of me? And how do I zip these things up? And so I'm jumping around, and finally I get it zipped up, and she gets hers on, and we come out, and we look at each other. We can barely walk or breathe in these things, and we look at each other, and we burst out laughing. And I say, I'm not getting these. I'd never wear them in a million years. And she says, me neither. And just then, Cher, who is now Cher, is walking by with two friends, and she goes, those pants look great on you girls. You ought to get them. And we did. But the story was much longer than that. That's the story in a nutshell. And we were so happy for Cher that Cher was now Cher. And she'd be invited to every premiere.
I love that. We're talking with Cindy Williams on Downtown. She goes on the road starting in January with me, myself, and Shirley. You mentioned the Gene Kelly story. Now, is that the story of you perhaps teaching Gene a new way to dance with some unique foot placement?
No, it was just, I did the Funny Side, which was a television series. It was the first one of the first shows I ever got on TV. It was an hour variety show, and it was sketches and music, and Gene Kelly was the host. And what I was just like stunned, because he's so much bigger than life, and you know, just an icon to me. And it was like habita, habita, habita. And one time I had to do this little dance. Well, it was a move with him. And he had choreographed it where we're singing this song, and he turns me around, and it's that old classic Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney pose where the man is behind the woman, puts his arms around her, she puts her arms on him, and they sing to each other, right? Mm. And sway. And so we're swaying and singing and singing and swaying, and I'm looking at Gene, and I'm thinking, wow, this could be right out of one of his big movies. If I wasn't standing on his foot, and I was standing smack dab on his foot, and he didn't miss a beat the entire time. He just kept swaying so smoothly with me. And then years later, I was invited. He called me and asked me to do this show he was doing called An American in Pasadena. And he was going to have, you know, Lucille Ball and Sid Charisse and Frank Sinatra and Liza Minnelli and Betty Garrett and all these wonderful, wonderful performers on the show. And it was going to be live. And I said, I can't do that. And he goes, no, I picked our song out. And I said, I don't think I can do it, Gene, live. I don't know. And he said, yes, you can. I'm sending the script over. Anyway, we get to the show, and it's going out live, and I, you know, and again, he has the same move where he turns me around, and we're singing You Wonderful You, and I'm singing with him. I'm thinking, this is going great. We sound great together, and, you know, he's harmonizing, and the song is going great, and I'm thinking, wow, this is just fabulous, and it would be even greater if I wasn't standing on his foot again. And he never missed a beat, but there I was standing on his foot again. So I have the honor of being the person who stood on Gene Kelly's foot while swaying with him, while dancing with him.
Now, I don't think the last time you were on, I don't think we talked about a movie that I loved. It used to be on cable all the time back in the day, the first Nudie musical. I don't think we talked about that. What was the experience like of doing that movie?
Well, that's my friend Bruce, who I went to college with.
Right, Bruce Kimmel.
All kinds of shows. Bruce Kimmel. And he just had this idea where he just wanted to send pornography up, and he thought it would be funny and make fun of it, because he found it hilarious. And so he had first wanted to write the movie, and shoot it on 8mm and then blow it up like grainy. And but anyway, it came down to this wonderful little musical. There is nudity in it, but not me. And it's risque, but it's very, very funny. And it also, though, got me the a little side name in People magazine of Little Miss Filthmouth because of a line that I had. And there was the sweetest picture of me, and under that picture of me, it was the caption, Little Miss Filthmouth. And because of one line I had in this, in Bruce's movie. But it was done for like 15, you know, it was one of those student films. And he just is a genius at writing music, and just had this genius idea. And it became a very kind of underground popular movie. And I heard that they ran it at the Playboy Mansion every night.
Well, I loved it. I thought it was terrific. So, so funny. In rereading the book, I had forgotten to ask you about this story before. Can you tell a little of the story of how you and Penny, before doing Laverne and Shirley, got blessed by Little Richard?
Yes, and that's in my show, Me, Myself, and Shirley.
Oh, great.
I I was a big fan of hers on The Odd Couple, but I don't think she had gotten that job yet. But anyway, I had seen her, and I thought, wow, she just seems like the most fun person. And we went just independently, went out on a double date together. And she went with Rob Reiner, and I went with my boyfriend at the time, Fred, and we went to see Little Richard open for Liza Minnelli at the Coconut Grove.
Wow.
And Little Richard was fantastic, and Liza Minnelli was fantastic. And after the show, we were invited backstage to meet Liza Minnelli. And Penny and I hadn't said a word to each other because, we just sat in the audience, watched the show, and then we were invited backstage. But in order to get to Liza Minnelli's dressing room, you had to go through Little Richard's dressing room. And they were like boxcar dressing rooms. So our dates are ahead of us. Rob and Fred are ahead of us. And we're about to cross into Little Richard's dressing room. And we're in the door frame. And he puts his leg up. He's sitting to the right of us. And he's sitting at a dressing table. And he sees us and puts his leg up and blocks the door. Like a parking, like in a parking garage. And he says, "You two, I want to say a blessing over you two." And at the time, I knew he was a certified, minister. And so after he says, "You two, I want to say a blessing over you two," Penny and I immediately bowed our heads. And Little Richard proceeded to say the most wonderful blessing over us, asking the Lord for, our happiness, our protection, God's protection over us, and for success for us and happiness in our lives. And when he was finished, he shouted, "Amen." And Penny and I shouted, "Amen." And then his leg, which had been up the entire time, it came down, and we were just stunned. And we walked through, to Liza Minnelli's dressing room. Now, you cut to years later when we're doing Laverne and Shirley, because all this time passed in between, and we're on the set, and I see this headline on one of the writer's tables. It says, Laverne, it was on in Variety, which is the paper for Hollywood, and it said, "Laverne and Shirley, gold in Hollywood." And I called Penny over, and I said, "Look at this. Laverne and Shirley Gold in Hollywood. What do you think that means, Penny? Why do you think we're successful?" And without missing a beat, she said, "Little Richard's blessing." And I said, "Right you are. Amen, sister." And we always thought of that he had prayed over us and asked God for our success, which Penny and I in a million years at that time would never have thought, we'd have success. And so it was just beautiful. It was a beautiful story.
That is wonderful.
And a beautiful event in our lives.
Now, you two, you and Penny, managed to get in to the soundstage and see the Laverne and Shirley set before the first taping. And then, as I recall from the book, you decided to do a little redecorating?
Well, yeah. When we showed up on the set for the first day, it was like the Mary Tyler Moore set. It had been dressed in all these beautiful, wall-to-wall carpeting, beautiful wallpaper, beautiful furnishings, and knickknacks and wall hangings. It was just beautiful. And we said, "This isn't Laverne and Shirley's apartment. This is Mary Tyler Moore's apartment." And we said, we were alone on the soundstage. We'd snuck on to the day before we were set to begin rehearsals to see the set. And we'd done the pilot, and our show had the sink in the living room. The kitchen sink was in the living room in our little apartment in the pilot. And then we came, and when we got our own show, I guess they thought, "Oh, won't it be pretty for the girls?" And we said, no, these are blue-collar workers. Oh, no. And so we ran to our individual homes and gathered all our junk from our, teenage bedrooms. And, I got old photos and old coats from junior high and my high school album and movie magazines and old shoes and a pile of newspapers that my mother was saving for some reason. And we met back on the soundstage that evening, and we took everything we could move and hid it backstage, way backstage, and all the tchotchkes and the furniture we could hide. And we replaced it with all these old pillows, you know, and just all the junk we had. We took all the wall hangings down and put up, you know, Penny put up old 45s, put a nail up and hung an old 45, and I hung a picture of my friend Don on the wall in front of his Chevrolet, you know, from the 50s. And anyway, the next morning when, we did the best we could. We wanted to pull up the carpeting because it was beautiful, and Laverne and Shirley wouldn't have that. Well, the next morning when we came to the set, they were waiting for us, and they were not happy. The producers, the writers, the people from upstairs, the big wigs at Paramount, and they wanted an explanation. So we said, listen, as beautiful as this set was, this is not Laverne and Shirley. Laverne and Shirley are two girls that, they get their furniture from the Goodwill, or they make shelves out of cinder blocks and 2x4s. And, they always have to give the feeling of the wolf being at their heels. They couldn't, sometimes they can't afford the rent. That's the fun of the show. We're blue collar workers, we're every man, and we have to maintain the integrity of that for the show to work, for the comedy to work. Anyway, by the end of us pleading our case, the carpet came up, but they did make, and they tacked the set down, as they say, and brought it all down and replaced all the furniture, but they made a show them where we'd hidden everything, which we did. But boy, that was a heart stopper for us, because that would not have been our show. And that's why things, if you look at the first apartment, there's still junk there. My mother's stack, in the first couple of episodes, my mother's stack of newspapers remained there. And Penny's 45s are up on the wall. And there's this old Hello Sailor pillow that's on the old couch, and old blankets that we threw around in movie magazines. And my junior high school coat was still in the landing closet, because they had beautiful coats, wool coats in there. We took all those out and put in our old coats. And that remained. And I'm happy we did it. And the carpet came up.
Cindy Williams going on tour with Me, Myself, and Shirley. You can go to the website, memyselfandshirley.com. And if she's coming to a city near you, well, you need to get out and see it. You're going to love it. The first show is January 20th through the 22nd at the Annenberg Theater in Palm Springs, California. From there, throughout Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and more. And hopefully up here to the Northeast before 2022 gets too deep. Cindy, it's so wonderful to talk with you again. We really appreciate you visiting with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rich. It's just been a joy.